if we can. I know he's busy, slammed with all this news and all the other assignments he already has on his plate. And then you pile all this on top of him. Hey, Chris, appreciate it very much, sir. Give us the behind-the-scenes LSU angle on this Brian Kelly news.
Well, it's certainly tied in to kind of how the search has evolved. We'll kind of hit a couple of things here, I think, that are pertinent. So the Lincoln Riley to USC situation has been who LSU is very interested in. But that never got as far as people, as the media made it out or it was believed, because certainly there was the interest on the LSU side. But Lincoln and Trace, his agent, Trace Armstrong, has been working the USC angle for about 2.5-3 weeks. Now, of course, they got it wrapped up after the game, the details. But this just didn't happen overnight. So with that, Trace Armstrong also represents Brian Kelly. And I know Trace very well. I know Brian Kelly really well. I don't know if you remember me telling you this back in October, but or maybe it was on one of my other shows, that I talk with Brian. Some folks at LSU asked me to reach out to him. They reached out to LSU, and he wasn't even interested in talking, because during the season, it's October, and he wasn't really interested. And I talked with him briefly. I've known him since Grand Valley State days, and just no real interest in moving. Just not much there. And so the needle didn't move or anything that was, you know, imminent. So I just, heck, it just, to me, I kind of looked at it as something that wasn't going to play out. Well, LSU moved on. And then that's, you know, obviously the reaching out to Jimbo and Lincoln and all that began to take center stage, and that kind of evolved the way it evolved. And we've always kind of felt that Scott Woodward was going to try to land a big splashy name, because that's what he does, and that gives him cover for if it doesn't work, well, I hired the best guy, the name guy. That's kind of his MO. Well, as this started to unfold, Trace really got into pushing a little bit and talking with him. He knew, and I think he told Brian, look, we can push these numbers up. We can make this, you know, you ought to at least, this is to Brian Kelly, of course, you know, you ought to at least listen. And then, see, once the season's over, I know their season's not technically over, once the games are over, it's past, you know, we're talking about the past 3 or 4 days, yeah, you know, it's the money is really intoxicating. The thing that I've always told Brian is, like, man, wouldn't it be great? And I always said USC, in this case LSU Open, what a great opportunity, because the guy has always recruited effectively wherever he's been to wherever he's been. Grand Valley, where you can't really, you know, Cincinnati, where you got to take some renegades. You got to, you know, at least when he was there anyway. And now Notre Dame, where you've got restrictions, and he's an outstanding coach. And so, you know, I do think the opportunity now maybe to go and win a title where it's a little bit more doable, I think is intriguing. But let's not kid ourselves. It's the money first. And, hey, how about this opportunity? It's an hellacious deal. It is an incentive put into it. And so, yeah, it's like a base 10, but the incentives take it to 15 relatively evil per, of course. So, you know, he's 60. Don't know that he'll see the end of it. There's some, you know, some at the end of it, some ways to kind of maneuver it a little bit. Ton of money, great opportunity to do things that maybe that there was a little bit of a glass ceiling at Notre Dame.
Let me go to Notre Dame, Chris. Do you think they will elevate Marcus Freeman ultimately as the head coach?
I do. I think that's the initial thought that's probably going to take place. They, you know, obviously when people say, boy, that haven't worked out, you know, we've tried that before. But it's a little different situation. The program's in really good shape. This is someone that they like a lot.
Right.
And one of the things I can tell you that when they got Brian, when Brian got Marcus to go there, which, by the way, ironically, you know, LSU wanted Marcus, and
right.
he wasn't really interested in getting into the Ed Orgeron situation last year at this time. But he certainly got a lot of money out of Notre Dame, and one of the things that was told to him is, look, we think a whole lot of you. You know, when I retire, you know, I think you got a really good shot. And, you know, you don't know when that is. Well, here we are a year later, and he's off, and, you know, the timing is not ideal, but I think that is the most likely thing that's going to happen. There'll be people there that'll say, you know, people that are going to be Jack will ultimately have the decision. But, you know, there's some higher-ups that will say, why don't we go and try to do this or that? I think they'll look at a couple of other options, but I don't think they want to lose Marcus. I think they think that much of him. So we'll see, but that's just my guess right now.
Odd, because the thinking has been also, Chris, that if Luke Fickell were to take another job, other than if the Ohio State job was presented to him again, it would be Notre Dame.
That's certainly one of the guys that I'm alluding to that I think they would take a hard look and be interested in talking
right.
with. And this is, whole playoff unfolding a week away from who's in, who's out, officially coinciding with the coaching searches. Oh, man, talk about interesting bedfellows here. Notre Dame's obviously long shot to make it. Cincinnati, not so much, so I think that would complicate matters for Luke to take it. And would Notre Dame be willing to wait that long? Meaning, because, you know, there's no way he's not going to coach Cincinnati in playoffs.
They right.
and do you wait another week? Do you do that? Or, you know, and then at that point, you know, you've got my – that's why I'm saying I would think things would probably work out from Marcus there. And again, that's my sense, but who knows?
Okay, Chris, I want to get to Lincoln Riley, but one more item here about LSU Notre Dame. There are some reports that Tommy Rees is coming as the offensive coordinator. Do you know that to be a fact?
I don't know it. The fact I text Brian, Brian was in a home visit last night. If you want to think about awkward, I don't know what the staff, it could very well be. Look, it's going to be, you know, it's Brian's offense, and it's somebody that he's taught to run it. It would make all the sense. I would think that would be what Brian wants to do. With Tommy, options Tommy has, I don't know. I would say that's a probability, but I'm just guessing.
Lincoln Riley leaving to go to Southern Cal. What happened there, Chris?
Well, again, the whole thing behind the scenes was really never for Oklahoma. That it was never really a leaving for LSU. It was more for him, the intrigue, leaving for USC. You know, leaving for LSU is more of what he has right now at Oklahoma. He's going into the SEC. He's got a program that's, you know, good, and you know, I think my view on Lincoln has always been this: really good offensive mind. I think as a head coach, he lacks a little bit of maintaining enough identity on the defensive side, how he organizes practice, how he organizes recruiting. It's all, you know, slanted towards the offense. I don't think that's ideally fit for Oklahoma if you're going to win the national championship, or you're going to go into the SEC, which they are, or LSU, personally. That's my view. You know, basically the teams he's going to have to beat on a regular basis to get to the playoffs is the teams that he's kind of not falling, coming up short against in the playoffs once he's making it. He was not real happy with the team moving into the SEC from a football standpoint, of course, you know. Basically, with all the money involved, who cares if you like it or not? And I think that was kind of what I was not aware of is there were some there was some issues and some problems with he and the Oklahoma administration, more than I realized. Nothing sinister or bad, but there's a little bit of kind of ruffling of power this and struggle that, and this is what we need to do this, and no, I think we need to. And USC is a great landing spot with a boatload of money that they put together. And going into the Pac-12, he can take the model that he has, which is winning in the Big 12, his way, and he can just plug that right into USC, where you're not having to play great defenses week in and week out. He has – the other thing is he has clearly the best program in the conference now. Oklahoma is the best program in the Big 12, yes. But going into the SEC, they're not the best program. They're amongst it, but they're not the best. USC is the best historical program, not talking about who's the best team program now. But he can go run his offense, get all those skill playmaker guys, recruit on defense, play the aggressive, let's create turnovers, and let's go. That excited him. And, again, the money is great. We're talking over $110 million guaranteed there. They're buying two of his houses. He is building a house in Norman, Oklahoma. And the other one he has, USC is paying $500,000 over market value for both of those houses, plus giving him a $1 million bonus to sign, and they're buying him a $6 million home in L.A. and an unlimited use of a private jet for he and his family. So, and a promise of a large, large pool for assistance. So give Mike Bone a ton of credit for working this out, getting it done, and putting together a package to go and get a guy that I think he's actually a better fit at USC than he would have been, say, at an LSU personally, and probably a better fit than he would have been at Oklahoma going into the SEC, because I do think Oklahoma needs to have a little bit more attention to detail on the defensive side going into the SEC. That's my view, and that's kind of how it played out. But Trace Armstrong is the guy that was, you know, we hear Jimmy Sexton a lot, and in this case, he had the players here. He had Lincoln, he had Brian Kelly, and those things kind of intersected and touched, and because obviously he knows where they were going. Scott and the LSU folks didn't know that he was going to USC. They just have known for about a week or so that he wasn't coming to LSU, thinking that maybe he was staying at Oklahoma, but obviously the USC was in the works. Trace knew that, and Trace, I thought, did a really good job getting Brian for Scott. It's basically the best way to describe it. That and a lot of money.
Chris, we're less than a minute out on the break. Any thoughts quickly on who who Oklahoma might get?
Well, Brent Venables, to me, makes a lot of sense with the connection there. And this is me speaking now, not necessarily. I think a guy that has that attention to details on defense makes a whole lot of sense. Whether he brings in somebody, whether it's a Jeff Lebby type of guy or somebody that can run an offense and he can put together the defensive structure, that might be something where Brent finally says, that's the job I will now leave for. I think that's something we need to watch.
Chris, thank you very much for the short notice, man.
You bet.
All right. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Check that out.